Matthew 27, 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. In Jesus' name, dear lights of the world. Last night we heard our tour choir sing about light. Today I ask you to think for a moment about darkness. In Albany, California, there's a school where the students never see the inside of a classroom, whether it's a new building or an old one. No, it's not some modern experiment in education. It's a school for the blind, where they teach people how to get along in the dark. They learn how to take care of an apartment, how to fry eggs, how to cross streets, how to use white canes and other special equipment. Have you ever tried to pour a cup of coffee blindfolded? It takes some practice. We just don't operate well in the darkness, do we? Even on the night shift, we try to bring the daylight with us. Flashlights, flares, candles, lamps. We have 24-hour lights in this room and emergency lights. Are there any buildings of consequence that are not wired for light? And will we ever forget the concert where the lights went off? When do we turn off the lights? Well, it's when we're going to close our eyes anyway, at night. Or when we want to close the eyes of others, in the sense of not letting them see us, hiding. Maybe you're tempted to turn and whisper to the person next to you because you think no one can see you right now. Jesus once said, "Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." And when they came to capture him that night in Gethsemane, he said, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." How many burglars haven't there been who were caught in the act when the lights went on? Have you ever been caught in the act? On Good Friday, the people of Jerusalem were caught in the act. But it wasn't when the lights came on, it was when they went off. And the darkness, the 3-hour darkness from noon to 3 o'clock, revealed what was really going on. It revealed the deeds of mankind. Many times we don't see the darkness of our own doings, do we? We're anxious about a lot of things, but not about our own dark doings. Sure, we know nobody's perfect, but we use that to excuse ourselves instead of concluding that everybody is in serious trouble. God says there is no one who does good, not even one. But people say there's a little good in everyone. Of course, that's our grandfather in the bones talking. Because of our flesh, we don't always see the seriousness of going against God's word. My hardest job, said a warden of a great penitentiary, is to convince the youthful delinquents that they have done something wrong. Ever get caught in the act? Maybe God caught us and we're still in the dark about it. But on Good Friday, the miraculous darkness in the middle of the day left little doubt about the seriousness of the sins that put Jesus on the cross. But the darkness also revealed the deeds of God. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our sins, the ones we know about, the ones we've fooled ourselves about, the ones we've minimized, the ones we're not even aware of, all were laid upon him and brought this terrible darkness upon him. Somehow the darkness that God brought on the Egyptians as one of the plagues had seemed fitting, for they were pagans. But now his own son suffers it for everything that is pagan in us. It must have seemed strange to the people that day. It was no eclipse. It was the time of the full moon. It must have seemed strange and frightening. Perhaps someone in Jerusalem that day remembered the words of Moses when he said, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you." Deuteronomy 28. These are only a few of the curses that Moses pronounced on the disobedient. But what did God do? Paul assures us that Christ became a curse for us when he hung on the tree. No wonder he cried out at the end of those three dark, silent, mysterious hours, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He suffered our darkness and felt forsaken that we may walk in light and never feel forsaken. In the beginning, darkness was on the face of the deep. And the first thing God said in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible was, "Let there be light." Now God even uses darkness on Good Friday to bring us eternal light and life. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. 183.